This is Nick from the Epic Film Guys, and you're listening to the Now in Technicolor podcast.
Boom!
If you haven't seen the 1990 or the 1993 Dances with Wolves or Robin Hood, Men in Tights, then it's all right. We're going to talk about them, but these are honestly too hilarious. Well, they're not too hilarious, I guess. One of them's hilarious. The other one is hilariously overrated.
That's you like your opinion. You lost the day on that one.
I guess. Everybody ready? Let's start the show.
Here, Tom Thompson, adventure begins. An exciting spectacle brought to you by Now and Technicolor Podcast.
All right, everybody. This is John or Jay Lost the Day.
This is the most hated man in the movie Pod Squad.
You mean the Podfix Network?
Well, isn't the movie Pod Squad thing still a thing, too?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just keep it movie Pod Squad because there's probably more people I hate in that pod group than in our actual pod group. So. Right?
Probably. No, you mean that hate you?
Well, that hates you. It's all the same now.
But the today, hate is mutual.
Today, I'm mostly a crying Jordan meme.
You are, sir.
In the shape of Ireland.
Gregor lost.
It's a really fucked up looking image and thing about like his head like shaped like Ireland.
Well, that's what...
And it's a crime.
You're looking at it. You're looking at a 210-pound shaped
man
Ireland,
Ireland
Jordan,
shaped
crime,
Jordan
meme.
Crying face.
J-Man. Well,
J-Man. Crying meme.
Cry me a river. Make sure to put that music in.
Oh, I was... This is the story of a girl.
Either is appropriate right now, you know.
Story of a J-man who cried a river and drowned the whole world.
Because the emotion runs deep.
It does. It does.
But other than the crying meme business.
Yes, yes.
What about the movie world, man? What about the movie news? What about all this fucking Joker garbage that's coming out? Two Joker movies? Two of them.
Like, literally, it was like fucking back to back.
Are they going to be, is it going to be two different Jokers?
As far as I understand, it is two different Jokers.
So it's not even the same dude.
It's not even the same dude playing Joker.
Not in the same time period.
Nope.
Probably won't even be canon to each other.
Probably not.
Oh. How desperate is Hollywood?
They're fucking desperate.
We're working on Fast and Furious 14, Transformers 83, and now two Jokers movies at once.
Yeah. I guess they feel like... I don't know, man. The Fast and Furious shit pulled in so much money. So much money. So, I mean, I don't see what... I'm just like, really? We're up to, like, Fast and Furious 19 or something. I mean, I didn't give them anybody.
You gave them the money.
I gave them the money. Okay, they said they were going to take my knees.
Hey, man. I don't know. This Joker origin story. So, this is going to be when he's, like, turns into the Joker, I guess.
It's essentially going to be what led into him becoming the Joker and him becoming the Joker, I guess.
And I asked you about this. This isn't going to be like him as a kid or anything. This is going to be him as like an
adult.
I
would assume this is going to be him as an adult.
Yeah.
Kind of like the one story where they do it is him as the adult and he loses his wife. And like he gets kind of prodded into doing the thing about being the actual Red Hood.
Yeah.
Because like. They kind of coax him into it to help him because he needs to get money for his family. And then literally his family dies, thus negating the entire reason that he was doing it in the first place.
Yeah.
And continues to be forced through it and ends up like literally getting knocked into that vat of acid by Batman and then turning into the Joker. And the entire thing of him becoming the Joker essentially is just all of the luck that happened. It's just like it's like now one big joke because he's like, I literally was doing this to help my family and then I've lost my family and pretty much lost myself.
Batman's kind of an asshole.
Yeah, sometimes.
Ben Affleck's a douche, but I digress. I think we covered that last episode.
Yeah,
but just a little throwback to the last one.
Yeah, right.
But what is any other stuff been announced or anything? I know this was the biggest news that came towards me.
This is literally the biggest thing that I've seen at the moment that I really care to have an opinion on, really. Most of it's not anything I'm really caring about at the moment, but the biggest thing to me at the moment really is the next episode, because in the next episode, we get to do It.
Yeah, because we're going to watch the new It.
Yeah, we're going to do the new It. And
I'm going to make a rare appearance at the theater.
Right. This is going to be fun.
My whiskey and a Taco Bell cup or something.
Probably. That's the usual MO.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I guess we'll get into this little fight thing. I want to talk about that for, you know, short little period of time.
Oh, at the same time, I failed to mention that Bradley J. from Who Spiked the Puns will actually be here for that episode, I believe.
The legendary Who Spiked the Puns, all the way across the pond.
All the way across the pond. He's, you know, been circling around this here United States for like the course of 2 months. And we're one of the
journeymen.
He's coming by to see us. And, like, I'm excited for that. So that should be really fun.
The Desperado.
Indeed.
Amazing.
All right. So back to the crying meme J-Man for just a second. So instead of a Star Wars corner this week, due to his illustrious excitement for this fight, for all the time building up to it, we're actually going to do a fight recap. So, all right. Let's hope you enjoy this.
Floyd Money Mayweather, now 50-0, faced Conor, the notorious Conor McGregor last night, who's now 0-1 in boxing. He was 0-0. He did 9-1 or 10-0. I can't remember exactly his amateur boxing record, but he'd never been knocked out until last night. TKO, standing on his feet.
Yeah.
You know, they stopped it, which I understand that. You know, there's some people that say they didn't know this fight was sanctioned because of the 0-0 and 49-0. But, you know, they took into consideration his MMA stuff. But this was a hella hyped fight. And it was very interesting to see a top-level MMA guy against the, in some people's eyes, greatest boxer. You know, some people put him in the top 5, top 3.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always behind the idea of Sugar Ray Robinson and Muhammad Ali are the best. But, that's just me. Floyd is definitely...
I mean, those are some legendary boxers, man.
Floyd is definitely the best of our generation.
Yeah.
You know, at one time you could argue Roy Jones Jr., but that guy just fucking, he just let his career go, and he didn't pull out when he should have.
True. True. That happens a lot. We were discussing that. We were discussing that. Like, a lot of people don't just go out on the top of their game.
Hey, man. Well, I guess Floyd's going to. He bested Rocky Marciano's 49-0.
Yep.
And now he's 50-0.
Yep.
The fight, you know, Conor brought it strong for the first four or five rounds.
He did.
Then he gassed out. You know, he was 170 pounds probably out there.
Well, he already told you going into the fight when they asked, he was like, well, what are you coming in at? He's like, probably 170 pounds. So
yeah.
It's most likely exactly what he came in for. And then at the same time, you know, Floyd, if you watch him for the whole time, he is ducking his head like so low that like Conor's reflex action is to immediately hammer fist him.
Yeah. Floyd's really good at, you know, keeping his composure and keeping his wind. And he really proved last night that his condition is on the next level.
That
he could, you know, he's better conditioned than the MMA guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got hellacious condition. He is trained to go for longer than MMA guys, really.
Yeah. It's 36 minutes versus 25.
Yeah, that's you could tell at the end when he was talking about it, you know, that was a lot of his plan.
Yeah.
Kind of wear him out, like kind of get him past his usual fight time and then see what he could do after that.
I feel like I thought Conor was going to come a little harder at the beginning. He still came pretty hard, but I guess, you know, after he got in there, and Floyd was probably harder to hit than he thought.
Yeah.
So, but overall, I think he looked pretty damn good, especially considering he was 0-0. He landed more shots than Manny Pacquiao, which, you know, Manny Pacquiao is considered by many to be one of the best of all time, too, and of our generation, and he landed 30 more punches than Manny Pacquiao, and he was in there 2 less rounds. Well,
I like how at the very end of the fight, like during the actual like post-fight interview, when Dana White's standing there and they're like, I don't know what the hell took him so long to get that Pacquiao fight together, but I damn sure know it wasn't them.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, damn, just came in here, instantly put down Pacquiao in his camp.
Hey, man, they had to. There's always going to be a beef there, I think, with Floyd and you know, Bob Arum, who runs the thing, and Oscar De La Hoya, who did the stuff for Manny and Dana White. They have history too. They have beef.
Yeah.
But man, at the end of the fight, when Connor and Floyd were hugging, man, they were just like Buckwheat and Spanky, Little Rascal, saying, "I got a dollar, I got a dollar." That was them.
Hell yeah, they were.
Yeah, dude, that was them. They stole the money. They took
all
the money.
You fucking kidding me? Didn't matter how that fight went down. Everybody was getting a fucking massive payday.
Hey, man, Connor came in and got more money than any other fucking boxer, and that's why they were all so mad at him.
Well, come on now. One of the questions after that was, well, after Connor's just made all this money in a fight, you think you're going to have any problems with people and, like, pay? He's like, nah, everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy.
For sure. Overall, though, it was really an exciting fight, and it really just showed the differences in the two styles. And it showed, you know, the strengths of boxing versus MMA. And,
yeah.
You know, we already saw James Toney against Randy Couture, and I don't think Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor would go much different if they stepped in an octagon.
I don't think so.
I think it actually would probably go more of like a knockout with like a head kick or elbows.
Well,
or something.
Here's the thing: like all the way through the fight, you could constantly see McGregor like fighting his MMA instincts to like swirl around him and like throw him and different things.
Dude, he could have suplexed him so many. Like, you could just see how much power he had over him.
Every time like he'd end up hammer, but you'd like see him like trying to stop himself from actually dropping his hand into his head. But
he could have. Overpowered him easily, especially in the first 15
minutes. So I mean, it was one of those things you could easily tell if the roles had been reversed, had been in an MMA fight, Floyd would have gone down very quickly.
Yeah, he would have lasted a minute tops.
Yeah, but that's just because it's a whole different style of fighting.
Yeah, he would have used some leg kicks, got in on the inside, thrown in a head kick.
Where boxing literally is, yo, you're dancing around and fucking trying to avoid getting punched in the face.
Man, that undercard on the pay-per-view, two fights before the main thing was good. But, man, before that, they were boring, dude. They were boring.
Really?
Yeah.
He's like, I was hanging on. I was about to sleep.
I missed MMA on that one. I was like, where's the chokes? And, like, there's so much more strategy, I guess.
Yeah.
You know.
Boxing's pretty straightforward. You stand in front of each other and punch each other in the face.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, there's so many more strategy, like, their angle, I guess, like, their conditioning. They don't engage as much. Like, it's, MMA, there's just chaos. Like, they just go, like...
Yeah. Well, there's so many different styles coming in at once with MMA and in boxing. It's a lot more... It's a lot about just whose technique is better than the other and who has a better jaw and whose conditioning is better.
Connor wanted him to let him get knocked out. He wanted to go straight out on his back.
Yeah, because in MMA, I'm not saying conditioning isn't like 100% something that you need to have, but I'm also saying that we've had people in there that didn't exactly have like fucking 5-round capacity stamina.
I mean, look at Big Country.
That were fucking champs. Yeah, look at Big Country.
He was out there whooping ass. And
he wasn't making it past first round.
But, you know, overall, I wasn't disappointed with the fight. I thought that, especially whenever a lot of big-time boxing purists were like, oh, Connor's not going to land a single punch. And then he lands, like, 111.
Yeah. So I mean, he completely showed everybody with that one.
I enjoyed it, though. I guess that's pretty much all I got to say about it, man.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I'm excited to see where he goes from here and goes into MMA, back to MMA. I hope he wins his next fight. If he doesn't, that's going to be pretty bad. That's going to be, it's not going to be looking good for him if he loses. But if he fights Khabib, man, that's going to be trouble. Khabib's a bad dude. He's talked about fighting Nate Diaz a third time. He's talked about fighting Tony Ferguson. It's really, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited to see.
Hell yeah.
And I'll be watching.
Hell yeah. Well, all right, everybody. We are going to hop all the way into the flashback.
I mean, these are hard to get on. Let's face it, you gotta be a man to wear tights. Will, how me seems?
Perfect.
Every time.
We're men in tights. We roam around the forest looking for fights. We're men in tights. Run from the rich and give to the poor, that's right! We may look like sissies, but watch what you say or else we'll put out your lights! We're men in tights, always on guard defending the people's rights.
La 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 la.
We roam around the forest looking for fights. We're men in tights. We rob from the rich and give to the poor, that's right. We may look like pansies, but don't get us wrong or else we'll put out your lights. We're men in tights,
tight,
tights. Always on guard defending the people's rights. When you're in the fix, just call for the men in tights.
Yeah. Hey, yo, yo, yo.
Check it out.
French John and the sheriff, they was running the show. Raising the taxes because they needed the dough. A reign of terror took over the land. They were shaking down the people just to beat the band. I said, hey.
Hey.
I said, hey.
Hey.
I said, hey.
Nanny, nanny, and a ho, ho, ho.
People weren't happy, morale was low. They had no place to turn to, there was nowhere to go. They needed a hero, but no one could be found, cause Robin Hood was out of town. I said, hey.
Hey.
I said, hey.
Hey.
I said,
hey. Hey, nanny, nanny, and the ho, ho, ho.
He was put into the slammer by his Arab foe, and in a little while he would be no more. I said, hey.
Hey.
I said, hey.
Hey.
I said,
hey, check it out.
So the 1993 Robin Hood Men in Tights by Mel Brooks, which is a fantastic film starring Cary Elwes, Amy Yasbeck, Richard Lewis, Roger Reese, and Mel Brooks is in there at one point. And of course, Dave Chappelle. Can't knock Dave Chappelle. I chew.
Yeah, he had a hell
bless
of a
you.
Role.
Nah, I'm asking my name. And of course, Isaac Hayes here at the beginning of this movie.
Legendary.
Legendary.
Chef, man.
Chef.
Scientology.
Yeah. Every time.
I hated this movie as a kid because they're making fun of Robin Hood. You can't make fun of Robin Hood because I fucking love Robin Hood. So as a kid, I was always like, ugh, this movie where the men in tights are making fun of something that I like. And like when you watched it, there's definitely a lot of parody stuff. And so... In 1993, I was like 8 years old. So like as an 8-year-old little girl, I was like, what a bunch of jackasses. That's what I thought. You know, I was like, why are they such bullies? As an adult, however, I think I watched it again probably when I was like 19, like, you know, or 20. And then after that, I was like, well, this is hilarious because there's lots of funny parts in it. But as a little girl, like a little kid growing up, I literally was like, ugh, I hate this movie. And even though I knew there was funny parts... I did not laugh. I did laugh some, but still, I didn't like it. Which is ridiculous, because it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's wild to not like it as a kid.
Yeah.
It seems like it'd be a kid-friendly movie, kind of.
I actually saw the original first, The Prince of Thieves, and then saw this one when I was a kid. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
Which did you like more, this one?
I love this one.
Yeah.
This one I love.
It's better, because it's, like I said, there's so much humor.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I actually really, really enjoy the Prince of Thieves movie, which is going to be hilarious when it comes down to the fact that we get to the next movie in the whole thing because of my take on that one. I actually like that movie. And yeah. Like Alan Rickman in it.
This movie, though, I enjoyed this movie a lot. It definitely had a lot of humor. Like you said, Dave Chappelle, dude, he had a lot of good moments. This was like one of his first roles, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was actually like one of his first movie roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the ones that kind of kicked him off. He was fantastic.
He really was.
The ending when he was like Black Sheriff, that was great.
When they mentioned Blazing Saddles, that shit was fantastic.
This is the second Cary Elwes movie. We did Princess Bride.
I know a lot of times I wanted to be like, as you wish, just when you see him.
And that was Mel Brooks' movie too, right?
I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Right at this moment. But yeah. I damn sure know that that movie... In conjunction with this one and Cary Elwes and his fighting capacity with the sword, especially when they get to the end with the... They make reference to it with the Sheriff of Rottingham there at the beginning. You know, he cuts the damn saddle and he's he makes him slide under the horse, and of course Dave Chappelle's like, oh man, pissed off. I'd be worried if I was that close to a horse's winning, I'd be worried about getting pissed on.
Yeah.
That was great shit.
Of course, when he rides up, that's fucking hilarious. He's like, this boy did to kill a king's dad.
Dude, who would win in a fight, though? A sword fight? This Cary Elwes or the other one for a Princess Bride?
Princess Bride.
That's a good question.
I'm saying Princess Bride.
I thought about this when I was watching it, and it got to it, because I was like, you know, this is the second time in, like, 6 years that this guy has led a role where he was a sword fighter.
You knew I was going to have to ask which one was going to win.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, he did. I don't know, man. He seems so confident in both of them.
Yeah, he's definitely sure of himself.
He's definitely very sure of himself.
Hell of a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another big, huge turnoff for me as a kid was, you know, Nottingham is where Robin Hood, yeah, Rottingham. I literally was just like, I'm like a bunch of eye rolls because I'm like rotting. But as a little girl, I'm just like, I just wanted to be like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Little girls do not like rotting stuff,
I was
man.
Just like, what is this? Why are they making fun of it?
They're not big on the whole rotten thing.
Well, like, yeah. No, I mean, now, like I said, it's funny. It's really
now I
fun.
Love rotten stuff.
Now, rotten stuff as a woman is great. As a little girl, though, not so much. It was just, I don't know. I didn't catch, I guess, that they were supposed to be making fun of them, and I just knew that what they were doing, I was just like, this is just like some like jabroni fake ass, like, yeah, like that's what I thought. And I was just like, how
oh,
dare
come
they
on.
I really did.
How can you not like Blinken?
No, Blinken was great. He was whenever he stood up the very first time when they moved the house, and he stands up and he's like, there used to be a door there. And he just goes into it, runs like into him basically, and he's like, our loyal what does he call him, our loyal butler, is that what our loyal blind butler,
yeah, he's like our blind butler,
our servant,
like,
sir,
but he, yeah. You know, he's sitting there, he's reading a like blind man's version of Playboy.
It's, yeah, it's a braille
like a braille Playboy.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite characters when he did that gimmick with the sword. When he was sword fighting the post later on.
Yeah.
And he just chopped it all to, you know, he just kept sword fighting. He chopped it up with his little, like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, when he's chopping up the post.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when during the fight, when they're in there the big fight
the king,
at the beginning.
The king's men, yeah.
He kicks that post out.
And he actually goes in there and he brings the boar and throws it on the table.
So much stamina.
Oh, yeah, dude. He took that entire post, chopped it down to a toothpick.
Yeah, dude.
You kidding me?
He would have went all 12 rounds with Mayweather. He wouldn't have fell out in the 10th. And he looks he looks about money weight. He looks about 150 pounds.
Yeah.
Look, we should get him in there.
He's not a big guy.
We're calling it now.
That's fucking hilarious.
Okay, so
I don't know. I love that too, though.
Cary Elwes, y'all, is what I think of too, is him just in Saw. And to chop his fucking like foot off, right? He chops his foot off. So I'm just like, how? How is it that Robin Hood Men in Tights and, I can't think of his name in The Princess Bride.
The Dread Pirate Robus.
Yeah, but what's his other name? That's like his, you know.
Farm Boy?
No.
Just old Farm Boy. I'll tell you, Farm Boy.
That's literally what he's called at the very beginning of the, like.
That's gonna piss me off.
He gets hired as a farm boy.
But yeah, he chops his foot. I'm like, he's such a badass with the sword, and here he is with the saw blade having to chop his fucking ankle.
You want to talk about a farm boy? Let's talk about old Little John.
Yeah, I was hoping to get to this.
This guy was jacked, man.
He's fucking enormous.
Like, compared to everybody else, especially, he's huge. Good look. Nice hair.
Yeah, I mean, he was solid.
Little John.
Although, him and that
crew. I'd hang his poster on my wall.
Right?
What's up?
Not a lot,
continue,
man.
We don't have to dwell on it. Keep
what
going.
I'm dwelling on is the fact that literally in this fucking creek, come on, man, that thing was like literally just like a fucking trickle.
Yeah, Chappelle had a good joke there doing the damn standing over East
I'm
Bank,
on the
West
east
Bank.
Side. I'm on the West Side. I'm on the West Bank. I'm on the East Bank.
Dave Chappelle is awesome. Almost every role, this is also his second movie for us because Con Air, we just did Dave Chappelle with
that's
and
true.
Con Air
that's
too.
True.
Wow.
So this is a double doozy here for these
He got
guys.
A much bigger part in this, though, than he got in Con Air.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't get stuck up in some of the takeoff gear, landing gear, whatever.
Oh, sweet. Speaking of all of them, and then after, like, the fight in the castle, And they go in, they're trying to gather all the men. And Carrie gives the Winston Churchill speech. Everybody goes to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was good stuff. And then he come up, and then Dave come out there. He gets all these fucking, everybody up.
He gets all these fucking bum-looking ass neckbeards.
Dude.
That don't look like they can do anything. Look like all of them have just been playing Nintendo their entire life.
Every last one of them.
There's no Nintendo.
They were all very out of shape. And they threw their ears at him.
I like
they literally threw their ears.
Also, that was another thing as a kid that I was just like, hardy, har, har, har.
I liked.
It's gross.
When they started training them and they had all the fucking cans from all the vegetables and like Campbell's soup and all this shit, even though it's supposed to be like the Crusade times.
Yes.
That was a good gimmick. There's like veg all in there. Had full spread, man.
Had some Campbell's.
A giant spread.
Yeah, they had some Campbell's
up there. Campbell's
tomato soup. Oh. Tomato. Classic.
Those are my chucks.
What did I do for you? Why don't you ever invite me over to the house?
The Don.
For, you know, something to eat. Maybe some granola. Granola. It is a piece of pastry.
Don Giovanni.
Dude, it was fucking fantastic.
The cotton balls in his mouth, man. That was great.
I can't understand a word you're saying. I went to the dinner store earlier and I still have the cotton balls in.
Nothing changed. He took the balls out. Nothing changes.
Same he took boy. The balls out. Nothing changed. He
took That's the balls funny. Out of his mouth. Nothing changed. Sounds exactly the same.
I will take these cotton balls from you in my hand, and I shall put them in my pocket. I'm like, goddamn, this guy, like, Lou, he's a master archer. He's the best. Lou, show him all your medals.
He was a pretty good archer.
He was a solid archer.
I thought at first that, you know, they were just fibbing.
What about how the guy that got his tongue cut out, Philippe, or whatever. Why does they try to make him look as much like Clint Eastwood as they could?
What, with that rolled cigarette?
With the rolled cigarette, just everything. Everything about that guy's demeanor looked like he was, like they were trying to make him look like Clint Eastwood.
He didn't have a huge hog.
He didn't. But then again, he was just there to like shoot a fucking small crossbow, steel crossbow.
What'd you think about that weapon?
What I think is that the thing was tiny and that Blinken totally saved the day.
Dude, Blinken caught that shit because he's got the hearing, man. He could hear. What about when they had
How'd
him
you
on?
Do that? Oh, please. I heard that coming a mile away.
What about how he
Thank you, Blinken.
Was on watch at that one point. They had him on the watchtower. Now,
Blinken, what are you doing up at?
What about his like shade he threw to Kevin Costner, y'all?
I'm listening. Too busy dying about that. What now?
What about the shade he threw it?
Oh, yeah,
Costner.
Finally. That's one. I don't know. I like that. I always thought that was funny.
Like, because I can talk in it. Yeah. Anyway.
Why should the people listen to you? Because unlike some other Robin Hoods, I can speak in an English accent.
And then he, like, looks, you know, at the camera kind
of. Dude, what about the chastity belt?
What about how it was Everlast?
Hey, man, that's a good brand.
That's a good brand.
Yeah. They had the product placement down.
They did.
Mel Brooks always does. He's always got the script gimmick where they check the script.
Yep.
And he's always got the gimmick where he did Spaceballs. That was it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Because I was thinking about movies we'd done.
Yeah, we did Spaceballs with him.
And then the gimmick with the product placement, like all the fucking. He's gonna check, man. Veg-All pays good.
Veg-All's
still in the store now.
Yeah.
We just had Veg-All in our chicken pot pie.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. Mel Brooks is the hell of a fucking like product placement man. You want a commercial play? You want somebody to last? Put him in a Mel Brooks movie.
He's just a man about his money.
He is. He's a good man. But seriously, though, like, yeah, they think Robin's lost the actual archery contest.
He gets another chance, dude. That I was like, why are they thinking? Why wouldn't he have got another chance? It's just simple. These people weren't paying any attention.
No, they weren't.
They blew their load.
They were just like, oh, this happened. We can't believe this happened. He won. It's like, no, but he gets another shot.
What about the Patriot arrow?
That shit's hilarious.
You'll be changing your name to Latrine in the 9th century.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be Latrine. What about Tracy Ullman's character?
She's so great. Her, you know who I love? Her and Carol Kane and
she was in
Billy
love.
Crystal, like, you know, like from like The Princess Bride. I would love all three of those.
Yeah.
To, like, do something together. It would be, like, fucking hilarious.
Tracy Ullman's character, her Latrine, she was obsessed with the fucking sheriff.
Yeah, she was.
She wanted that D.
She like, wanted the sheriff's D.
And then one moment, she's like, I touched it.
Yeah.
She said she touched it.
Yeah, that first time when he comes crashing through the ceiling after being launched by the catapult.
Yeah, she's like, I touched it. She was happy.
She was very ecstatic. But what about the end of here when Sheriff stabs himself through.
Yeah.
Stabs himself, kills himself.
Yeah.
And then she finally actually gets him at the end.
Yeah, after he stole the...
But how that was a lifesaver.
He was trying to use a jackhammer on the chastity belt, dude.
Wasn't getting it. I think he knocked all the shit in the fucking lock loose, though, or something. Made it to where it wouldn't open.
I would have fucking taken that jackhammer to him when the dude came up there trying to sword fight. I would have been like, ah, motherfucker! I mean, come on, dude. It's a fucking jackhammer. Jesus, God.
I mean, it's true.
You don't want some fucking dude running at you with a jackhammer? Why would you want that?
Admittedly, I mean... You wouldn't.
Like, where did he get a jackhammer? Out of the Crusades.
It's a fucking
Where did a Chew get them pump up shoes? He was like, pump up the volume, pump up the volume. Then he said
honky.
He was
just stylish. He was ahead of his time.
He said honky, so... I was like, this still, remember the other Mel Brooks movie, we talked about how a lot of their humor in that movie wouldn't stand today. Like, you know, like people would be all but hurt. The same thing for a lot of things said in this movie.
Well, he was just ahead of his time. This was before they understood the concept of factory, so he couldn't get the shoes put into production. So he invented those shoes. And they probably found those shoes with him in his mummified corpse later on.
I believe that.
There came the Jordans.
The story
of the Jordans.
Achoo.
It makes a lot of sense.
Michael Jordan on one of his many expeditions between winning 6 NBA championships.
Okay, so let's, Michael Jordan, I want to watch Space Jam at some point.
We'll put Space Jam in the bowl.
I love Space Jam. Or even just do a flashback of it one day. But I like it.
The sheriff killed himself. The king came back.
He did. Well, I mean, she saved him with a lifesaver.
Yeah.
Literally a fucking lifesaver.
It was a mint.
Cool mint.
Double mint gum. Yeah. They probably did the commercial.
Double fresh, bro.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so much. It's like, I got a pill that'll save your life. And it's a fucking lifesaver.
It worked. You've never tried it?
Nope.
Don't fucking shit on it.
This
was made in the early 90s. The lifesavers don't have the same formula
now.
I'm
pretty sure the formula has changed since then. No longer contains that ability.
So it probably wouldn't work, but if you want to try it, I'll
gladly run you through with the sword.
I'll call 911 if it doesn't work.
If you're like, dead, where's your phone at?
If you're dead, don't say anything when I count to like 3 or 5, 10. I'll count to 10 to make sure it's right.
That's terrible, man. That's terrible.
You think I should go longer?
Yeah, at least 30 seconds.
Okay. Awesome. But what about when the king comes back and he gets a smooch in, man?
Yep. Patrick Stewart shows up at the very end.
Patrick Stewart is amazing.
Why does he get the smooch?
Throws some dong around.
Throws the dad dick.
How come there's dad dick on every episode?
Because it's a real thing.
Yeah, he comes in. He just starts, and they do the hold my crown. Yeah, you're welcome, my lord. And he's like, king, whatever, and shit like that. And but he does. He gets that kiss in because it was actually like a legit thing.
But why is it a legit thing?
It's the medieval times. Kings
so
literally
it's been
would
around
do this.
Since the medieval times.
Yeah, monarchs
did.
Would do this.
He wouldn't go around and just kiss any old fucking floozy on the side of the street. He wouldn't have, like, if old Joe Flo down there at the fucking pig farm wanted to marry somebody, he wouldn't have been like, oh, I gotta swing down there and kiss that bitch for this, you know? Like,
you'd be surprised what those fuckers would have done in the 14th century.
She kings is were, no man's property. Despicable.
Yeah. Kings are redonk. Yeah, it's not all. It wasn't good shit.
Despicable.
Yes.
But no, man, this was a fun movie though. Like, and then they finally get married. And
they do, and then they go to finally turn the key, and of course it doesn't unlock.
Yeah.
It's like stuck or something. It's like, call a locksmith.
What happens, though? Does it work? Does he get the locksmith?
I don't know. I assume that you're left in the assumption of just they're calling for a locksmith, and then maybe it'll get unlocked.
We need a sequel, man.
That's what I wondered. I was like, a sequel of this would be solid.
Something hidden in his office somewhere, like something he's already wrote or something. He needs to have that, like, put away as a little...
Everybody always wants sequels of his movies.
Yeah,
like, people like the only one. Yeah, he's like one of the only ones that I'm like, yeah.
People's like, where's Spaceballs 2?
Where's an ending? Like, I need, like, because he leaves it's them true. So like it's true. To the imagination. He leaves them to you.
Everybody wants a second one of those, I guess. A lot of times, because yeah, he does exactly what you said.
Leaves you on this big cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed this one. This was my most enjoyed film of this podcast. We're going to talk about.
Yes, indeed. Well, all right. I guess what we're just going to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to hop into
just here that you've been decorated and they sent you here to be posted.
Actually, sir, I'm here at my own request.
Why?
I've always wanted to see the frontier.
Do you want to see the frontier?
Yes, sir. Before it's gone.
There ain't nothing here, Lieutenant. Everybody's run off or got killed.
What about Indians?
Buffalo.
Everybody, the 1990 Dances with Wolves. So, Smashley, you want to start this one out?
Yeah. Dances with Wolves is a movie that I watched with my grandma all the time as a kid. I've seen it too many times.
An old person movie.
My grandma really likes... similar to, you know, we just did Jeremiah Johnson.
Well, that's the thing. We did Jeremiah Johnson. Indians. That was much more...
She likes Indians, though, and we always watch any Indian movie. There's, like, so many of those movies, like, that she could tell you, like, that she likes. Like, she reads the books, she likes the movies, she just likes them. And so, this one is kind of... It's a little different. It's, like, the indigenous people and, like, how they really were treated. You get to see like their trials and tribulations and life, how they really went through it, and you get to see a white man go through a journey with them and earn their respect, kind of similar like to Jeremiah Johnson.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, I like this movie though. I know you guys probably didn't like this, but I like it because it has memories for me. Like, I don't know, I like the love story. I like that they call him Dances with Wolves because he feeds the wolves. I think that that's cool. I mean the movie was okay.
The movie was okay.
Yeah, I mean
it's
just not bad.
Really fucking long. And I just feel like it's so long. Well, like I feel like a lot of it's just drawn
to
out.
It be like 2 hours and 20 minutes and then Kevin Costner gave him a 3-hour movie.
They just like drew out some stuff and shit like that that I thought was unnecessary, I guess. And it would have been a lot better if they would have shaved about 30, 40 minutes off of it.
A lot of alone time or what?
I mean, just like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know necessarily what they could have taken out and what they could have condensed or whatever and so on and so forth. But I know that if I definitely like sat down and watched it, I could write it down and I could shave 30 minutes off this fucking movie, no problem, and make it more enjoyable. I mean, just for me. But I know it won a lot of awards and it's highly regarded and it's on a lot of top film lists in some people's eyes. But like you said, Jay lost the day. I would put it on a more overrated because,
because
good Lord, it is long.
It is long and a lot of... And like I said, I like the Prince of Thieves movie, but I do not like Kevin Costner too much through like this entire movie. It's just really like... I don't much like his acting.
It's just
like, you don't like John Dunbar? That's not Dumb Bear. That's Dunbar.
But it's like the whole, like, there was no real emotion on his face at any point.
Yeah, I feel like, with everyone else being pretty much everyone else being a subtitled character, it's kind of hard to really get their emotions unless they're like, what's his name, wind in his hair, like screaming at the top of his fucking lungs. You know his emotions then. But the other people, you don't really, I don't know, with their subtitles,
I don't know, really.
But this guy, with him being the only dude in the way he's doing this movie, and he's supposed to be the only person really carrying it with his actions and his emotions, it wasn't that. There wasn't a lot there. You know, it was just pretty much like him just telling
a
story.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone else in the entire movie had, like, a ton of emotion.
Yeah.
On their faces. And when they were doing everything, like, you could tell, like, they gave a feeling towards the reaction of what was actually supposedly going on at the moment. And there's Kevin Costner. I am stone faced.
Felt like it was more like a fucking really long picture book with shitty narration or something.
Oh god,
by Kevin Costner.
Yeah, because like he it just felt like he was just reading. You know,
the narration,
like, he was just
there. Like, literally, it kind of makes you laugh. Like, you kind of can't help but laugh at the narration at points. Like, it's not even what he's saying. It's literally just how he's reading it.
The only times that I really felt like he was really showing good emotion was the times his animals got killed, the horse and the dog. I felt like, his whole love with the girl, I didn't feel like, I didn't see any love. I didn't, he was just like, why is she like this? Why can't she love nobody?
Yeah.
How does she love somebody? Like, there was no, like, I didn't feel like, this burning passion.
No.
He was just like, what's up with her?
It's more like, hey, this.
It's like Forrest Gump.
He's here. She's here. What's wrong? Can I have her?
When can I? Is it going to be like this forever?
One of the things that I liked about the actual film, though, like at the beginning, when he's on the front line in Tennessee, and he decides that he's going to get on that horse and does the suicide
Jesus
suicide run.
When that started at the beginning of this fucking movie, I was like, what in the flying fuck have I got myself into? I was like, this movie's 3 hours long. This fucking honky. I was like, he is riding around on his horse acting like he's damn Jesus. and I was just like, what is going on?
Apparently what was going on was...
Diversion.
So that way they could get that shot in the head, which was apparently... I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that it was Kevin Costner's father that was the dude playing the guy that shot that guy.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool.
I thought it was while we picked this movie, and right now they're about to vote on the Confederate statues in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's, that's something.
Yeah, what timing.
What timing. What fantastic timing we have. But, like I said, the movie's not really bad. It's just super long, and it does a fantastic job of doing relations with Native Americans and stuff, and showing everybody not in like some terrible ass light.
Oh yeah, they were really they did a really good job of doing the Native Americans, the Sioux Indians, and the like doing their whole setup, the whole way they were living, the relationships, the how they were warm with the other tribe, and just showing all that, how they really feared the white man. You know, they didn't want to fight the white man, but they had to because they were just scared.
Well, I mean, they're scared. I mean, they're like, they do, at one point, they show Kevin Costner character, John, they show him the helmet from the Spanish invasion previous in the Americas, long before, the white man even got there. Quite talk very happily about that either.
How could he?
Indeed. It was one of those things, and with a language barrier, because most of them,
Well, I thought it told a really good story. It was just really long, and it was just hard.
And that journaling really gets all old. Like, that narration is, like, just a pain. It's like, God, please, come on.
Yeah.
Just quit.
It may have worked better if the narration would have been someone else's voice.
Probably.
Like, because it felt like,
I don't know, but the whole journaling thing, really?
Yeah.
Come on now. The man liked to journal a lot.
He was sensitive.
He was a sensitive guy.
You saw his buttocks?
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about it. Come on now. We got to look at his pasty white ass, but we can't get hers later on in the film.
Jealous man you are.
It just doesn't make any sense. I was like, is this a made-for-TV movie where we can only see...
That's basically what it felt like,
that's
a made-for-TV.
Like. It feels like a made-for-TV film.
Yeah.
It felt too long. It wasn't as enjoyable as like it.
Well, it was really cool, but that second part of it drags, too.
It does. That second part drags pretty hard.
Yeah. So, you know. It's better. It is better because the content of it is better.
Contents.
Well, I'm more of a horror guy.
Both of the contents aren't really that bad. It's so long and droning, and Kevin Costner's acting really in this movie just kind of gets really old.
And the power mullet.
Honestly, all you can kind of think at some points of the movie is, man, this movie could have been over within like 15 minutes if they just shot his ass.
Yeah. He doesn't look as much of a badass as Jeremiah Johnson.
He doesn't. I feel like Jeremiah Johnson would have met John Dunbar. Jeremiah was gonna whip his ass. I feel like Jeremiah would literally just like take him and make him look like he was just a total pain, little wimp, if you will.
Yeah, I think the best parts I think of the movie, you know, when they killed the animals. That's when he showed the most emotion. That's his best acted part for
as far as that goes. Costner, yeah.
For me. He showed the most emotion then, especially the dog when he was fighting.
He showed
with the
more
leg.
Emotion for
the dog
and
he was
the
choking
horse.
Him with his legs, man. That was pretty good.
Yeah, than he ever did for even that woman or any of that
stuff. Yeah, it seriously was like Forrest Gump. He was like, I like this girl. I like you. And that's what it was like, you know, just fucking dry and bland.
The whole time. It's hard to like entirely be like, it's a terrible fucking movie, but because I mean there's good stuff in it, but it's just not something I like. I just don't like watching it. It's too long. Yeah, the story is very like okay at best, and Kevin Costner's acting just completely throws everything out of the moment. So it's hard to get into versus like when we watched Jeremiah Johnson when he was like, at times you're like, this motherfucker might die.
Yeah. The fighting was a lot better in Jeremiah Johnson too, I think. You know, this one was a lot more like, you know, it showed some, like when the dude got shot with the arrows.
Yeah.
That was pretty
graphic.
I'm
gonna be honest with you, whoever was selling arrows that day made a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. They shot a lot of arrows.
They shot a ton of arrows in this damn movie.
That dude had like 8 arrows in him before he went down. That nasty dude that farted a bunch and had the egg on his face. The most vile human being he ever met.
Yeah, the most foul human being, Timmons. I didn't like Timmons.
No.
I wasn't a fan of Timmons. I wasn't a fan of the Major either. Mm-mm. The one that blew. I pissed myself and there's nothing anyone can do about it. And
that dude was shit tanked.
Ridiculously shit tanked. And then he just blows his fucking head off.
Hey, man. Sometimes you cross a line. You can't turn back.
I pissed myself. Now I gotta kill myself.
Shit tank. Pissed myself. Can't clean it up. I ain't got nobody cleaning up here for me, so I'm just done.
He's like, hurry. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. I mean...
The ending, though, after everything said no, you know, he joined the tribe after the whole long thing. You
he
know,
joined
they,
the
Sioux, they built the love
and
story.
They like, build this whole relationship, the love story. Everybody's cool now.
And when he goes back to this camp, and the people are there, the Union finally show up.
Yeah,
and then it's everything goes downhill from there. And that's pretty much, I guess, the arc of everything.
I was gonna say what we watched. At the end of it, it just at the very end, that's it. I mean, you know, he tells everybody how much he's cared for them,
yeah,
and that he is now the most hated man in the United States.
He has to leave.
He's got to dip because he doesn't want to lead them to them, and it just kind of it's him and his wife riding out, and they tell you that after it took many years before the Sioux actually like
lose all their land.
You know, kind of the wrap up of to what their history, I guess. In a very short summary.
There's a book, second book that tells, I guess, what happens to them. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know. I know it was written. I know Coster, from what I read, actually, like, told the guy that wrote the novel, had a screenplay, and then he was like, you should write this as a novel, it has a better chance of getting picked up. Yeah. He wrote it as a novel, and then Coster bought the damn thing.
Yeah.
To make it as a movie.
You know,
it cost him, like, $18 million because they ran out of funding.
Yeah.
To make the actual movie, to get it all the rest of the way, like, filmed and put on the grant. You know.
I wonder what happens in the book.
I don't know.
The second one.
I hadn't read it. I hadn't read the other one.
Yeah, but just to think about reading, this, just to find out what happens. Because, you know, you kind of want to know what happens to John.
I kind of want to know, but
you're like, man,
time.
I don't. Yeah. How? Imagine how thick the book is.
That's what I was thinking.
Man.
I was like.
I read Great Expectations, though. That was really long.
Yeah. I mean, I've read a lot of really long books, but.
Like Harry Potter?
I read more than Harry Potter. I've read, like,
Lord of the Rings.
And The Stand and Lord of the Rings, yeah.
That's a long book.
But it's a long series of books.
But yeah, man, this movie was okay. But overall, I wouldn't. We'll get to that rating, but yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't really have anything else to really say about this movie at all. Not whatsoever. But, so. I guess we're just going to get out of this, and we're going to hop into the ratings. And, all right, so let's find out if...
We got to lose it. Lose it. Lose it. Lose it. We got to lose it. Lose it. Lose it. Lose it. We got to lose it.
All right, everybody. Smashley had to actually drop out during the part of the review because she had to take over for... Master Ichabod.
Yeah.
But we have her ratings for the actual films, which the rating system is a case of 40s, case, it's a six pack, 40, going to sleep, and a coma if you really hated that bitch. All right. And she gave it a case for Robin Hood Men in Tights, and she gave Danzig's Wolves a six pack. So she gave it a 3 and a 4, or a 4 and a 3.
Yeah, she was very generous with the 3.
She was. She was very generous.
I'm gonna give Robin Hood a 4 as well. A case.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm going to give Dances with with the Wolves a 2, I guess.
So
a 40.
40.
Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, it's a. It's a solid answer, I guess. I mean,
it's too long.
I think we're going around the board with cases on Men in Tights, though.
You know, we're in this new generation where we have this instant gratification thing. Man, how am I going to watch this 4-hour movie that is pretty boring with this terrible actor and a whole bunch of reading? I don't know. It just didn't flow.
Set aside that. I watched this movie years and years and years ago.
I'll hit you with a beer bottle right now.
And thought it was fucking boring and shit.
I'll go back in time and hit that you with a beer bottle.
I'll hit you with this damn beer bottle. I'll hit you with those beer bottles. I'll hit you with the clacking beer bottles.
Come out and play?
Yeah.
All right.
But, all right. And then, yeah, I think I'm going to go with a 40 as well on this. Because, I mean, it's not a bad movie. But I just don't enjoy it a lot.
Shave 30 minutes off of it, I would have gave it a 3. Shave 45 off, still probably would have gave it a 3.
Yeah. Most likely going to give it a 3.
Yeah. I don't know if you could get over a 3. I don't know if it... Unless you would have had, like this when they scalped Timmons, scalped him, didn't they?
I mean, I think really, so. I think that's exactly what they did, but
I should have seen some scalp.
Yeah.
I didn't even see no scalp. What is this movie? What was that movie rated? Was it PG-13 or R? I think it was PG-13.
I think it was PG-13.
I don't know. But yeah,
I guess it damn sure wasn't no R.
Yeah, but I guess those are my ratings, man. That's my opinion.
Yeah, that's our solid opinion. So, since Smashley had to hop out of here, we are actually going to just go ahead and do her pick from the ball.
It's your pick.
So it's mine then. I pick good movies.
What did you pick?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh wow, what a development! This is a movie I've seen. This is a movie I've seen already.
Yes.
Like 100 times.
That's true. This is one I know you like a lot.
I've seen this movie seriously like 100 times. Like, I already know. Look at me. You know, I'm already all over this one.
Yeah,
like,
come on, man. I love you, baby.
Yeah, I'm all over this one. So that's a solid pick. We'll have fun with this one. She'll have fun with this one. Yeah, she loves this movie.
This will be really, really fun. I think it'd be much more exciting.
Hey, don't throw it back in there,
I threw it back in. Shit.
Good Lord. Make sure it's the right one. Fucking savage. Thing, just because Connor lost, we have to act like fucking savages and uncivilized folk.
No, I think it's just I wasn't thinking about it. I just tossed it back in. But regardless of that, pitch it. Alright, everybody. So this is Pitch It, and so we're going to lead in with this, the last Pitch It that we did with the Dazed and Confused, J-Man came out on top with that.
Mine was a solid
Dazed
idea.
Confused her.
Mine was a solid idea.
And then you had the, I should have actually put down Dazed and Confused 2 Electric Boogaloo. I think I'd have had a better chance.
That's a good title. Maybe so.
I think I should actually put that down, but, yeah, I mean, you got it pretty substantially. It was like 69% or something like that, 61. So there is that. But you've won 4 times in a row now. Like, not in a row, but necessarily, but you've won like 4 times.
Well,
you are the champion of this at the moment.
I wish we could have descriptions on there because I think that would actually get me more votes. Some of my descriptions are... Tonight's... We're gonna have to talk about it.
Oh, really? Yeah. I want to hear what it is because you told me you had this solid.
Well, you know, you first bounced the idea.
All right, yeah, it's a strange idea. Don't get me wrong.
Of basically Dances with Wolves, but like
it's
a Mel Brooks
style parody of Dances with Wolves.
And
I thought about it. You can do it.
Instead of Dances with Wolves, my movie that I'm going with today would be. Shakes his peewee, and it's going to star Pee Wee Herman, and he is the main central character, and him in a comedy style Wild West, and the most vile man, his first most vile man, the Timmons of the movie,
yeah,
is going to be John Lovitz because he was the most vile man I could think of. And then this is too far.
John fucking Lovitz,
dude, he's a vile motherfucker.
That was fucking great.
Dude, he's sourpuss, man.
Well, he is.
He's like, always in a bad mood.
It's so funny.
It's just going to be full of just comedy guys. You know, the Indians are going to be played by, you know, there'll be several comedic actors. We'll have David Spade thrown in there. I might throw Adam Sandler and his little goof troop in there as the Indians, but they'll be the ones to get killed.
Yeah.
They're the ones that get killed. Adam Sandler gets brutally killed. He's the first guy killed, and it's brutal. Like, I'm talking about, it's just brutal. And it's basically just a who's who of comedians replacing, you know, the Indian tribe.
Yeah.
And it's got to be the, you know, like, Pauly Shore and, like, guys like that. Andrew Dice Clay is going to be in there as one of the old chiefs. You know, it's got to be the older guys, you know. And
damn, you're kind of taking some of this from me.
It can't be the...
It's good, though.
It can't be the younger guys because we can't afford all of those guys. You can't have, like, Kevin Hart in there. That guy's fucking, like, you know, millions a picture. You can't have guys like that in there. It's going to be, the B-level guys now, and it's going to be Pee Wee Herman going through his frontier type thing, and it's only going to be like an hour and a half long.
Yeah,
and it's,
that's reasonable.
Yeah, it's pretty much going to end up with Pee Wee Herman riding out in the sunset on his bike at the end. The bike's going to return, the red and white bike from Big Top Adventure.
This makes sense.
And that's how, I'd have to think out the plot points a lot, but those are my basic things. You know, there's going to be a lot of shitty comedians playing the Indians. You have Pauly Shore, Adam Sandler, you know, David Spade, all those guys. You got Pee Wee Herman in there as the star. John Lovitz is the vile guy. He's going to have a much larger role. John Lovitz isn't going to get killed right at the beginning. Pretty much it's going to be Pee Wee and John Lovitz for like 40 minutes, the Indians are going to swoop in, kill John Lovitz. It's going to be more like the love interest is going to be with John Lovitz, pretty much. It's not going to be like, you know, they're going to be like romantically involved, but they're going to be like really good friends. And Pee Wee Herman's not going to lose his best friend. He's going to lose his best friend, and he's going to go after the comedians. It's turned into kind of like a, you know, a versus the Indian story.
I was going to say, how did this kind of, this went from, it started off as a Dances with Wolves to into a, like, Jeremiah Johnson kind of thing.
I kind of mashed him up, man.
Mashed him.
It shakes his wee-wee. Pee-wee.
Shakes his pee-wee.
Yeah, shakes his pee-wee.
That makes about as much sense as any Pee-wee Herman film can.
Yeah, dude. And we're going to have that one dude that sucks from his movie, from Big Top Adventure, the whiny guy. He'll be one of the comedians, too.
Yeah.
Unless he's dead, I don't know. He might have killed him.
All right. Mine is going to be Hops with Rabbits. And it's going to star Michael Cera as the actual main character. And he is going to be John. And when he does the actual, like, ride in, it'll have a bunch of, like, dudes, like, from, it's going to have the entire cast of, like, from Scott Pilgrim Saves the versus the World.
Yeah.
So it'll have, like, that. And then there, it'll be all the boyfriends, like, trying to, like, get him. But then they get to, you know, kill it off and all that good mess. So there's that. And then Dave Chappelle and Donald Glover, they're going to be the Indians.
They come back?
Hmm?
Like, that was Robin Hood.
Yeah. No.
I was just crossing movies.
Yeah.
I'm good at that.
But no, I'm putting Dave Chappelle in this as well, along with that young man, Donald. His name's Donald Glover?
Yeah, one's about to be in the Han Solo.
Yes, yes.
Childish Gambino.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
He's actually pretty funny. There's that. Matter of fact, I want to put Danny Glover in there too. He's got to be in there. And then at some point, Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, Mel Gibson's going to be one of the bad Indians. Matter of fact, he's going to be like the head bad Indian. So that way he gets the worst death. So there's that. And then, he's going to go through and we'll have Ellen. I don't know who to put in that. Who should I make that actually? To me, more. That'd be stupid. That'd be fucking stupid.
Hey, man, it's your pitch. If you want to be stupid, you can be. Dare to be stupid. You ever heard of Weird Al?
I have. I've heard of Weird Al.
I need to cast Weird Al in something.
That would be a good idea.
Call Weird Al.
You call Weird Al. Timmons in mine is actually going to be Danny DeVito.
That's a good guy.
I think it's a good guy. I think that'll be a solid one. As a matter of fact, a part of the Always Sunny cast, we part of the actual soldiers that he meets up with later in the movie. I'll cut it down to about an hour and 44 minutes. That's as long as Ben in tights was.
Yeah, hopefully for sure.
That's not so bad.
The movie definitely has to be cut down in size because that 3 hours. What about that? There's a fucking 4 hour movie version of that. I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Glad we didn't watch that one.
Jesus. What's the.
And there's an intermission.
You, fuck you.
There's like an intermission in it.
I don't want to watch that. That's your pitch it, bro.
Yeah, that's going to be mine. It's terrible.
We got to figure out our flashback. To go with the 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
We can do Save the Last Dance because of Julia Stiles.
And we do, like...
I'm just kidding because I don't want to, you know...
Yeah, I was like, we can do a lot of other things, man.
I just said the worst thing I could think of. Better. I said the worst thing I could think of.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. But, alright. So, that's fun.
Hell yeah.
But, alright, everybody. So, this is going to end out the show. Thank you all for sticking with us and listening. You can catch the show at Now in Tech Pod on Twitter and nowintechpod.weebly.com. And, of course, you can find us with all of our network bros and sisters and all that over at podfixnetwork.com.
Leave those iTunes reviews.
Yeah, that'd be good stuff. If you want to leave us a 5-star review, that'd be awesome. If not, still cool, but doesn't help us.
Yeah, help us out. That helps us a lot. Those iTunes reviews helps a lot.
It really does. It really does. But, all right, everybody. This has been fun. We really enjoy it. Everybody take care and stay colorful.
podcast on the PodFix Network. You can check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.